Hello, welcome back to Questioning War, Organizing Resistance. I'm your host, Carol Brier. This is the Canadian 9/11 Truth Show. It's August 25th, and in our second hour, we're going to have with us Robert Lewis and Drew Noftel. I'll have to figure out how to pronounce his name correctly, but Robert Lewis has done a film himself, actually two films. One of them is called Gaj, The End of Religion, and another, Be Smiled, The Story of Two Urban Inuit. And he also made a documentary called The Documentary of the 9/11 Truth Movement, which is from his travels to Ground Zero in 2007. He became very involved with the Montreal 9/11 Truth group, especially I think that film Montreal Next Terror Target probably had something to do with that. And he is one of the main organizers now for the March on Ottawa for 9/11 Truth in support of a Canadian 9/11 investigation, which is a long event. It's scheduled for the 7th through the 11th of September, although with us in the last half hour is Drew Noftel. I should have asked him how to pronounce it. I'm sorry, Drew, if I've mangled your name. But Drew is also organizing a truth tour, which begins, I believe, August 30th, and they're going to be traveling across the country in a bus with some incredible musicians giving concerts and doing actions to get people to join them with the March on Ottawa and become more informed. So let me see. Robert, are you there? I'm having trouble with my board here. Robert, are you available right now? Well, I hope we can get him. But I just, while we're looking for Robert, I'll just mention the news of the day too is that last Thursday. Oh, there he is. Here we go. Robert, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, great. I'm so glad. Every once in a while I have technical snafus here. So thank you so much for joining me. And tell me, did you become part of the Montreal 9/11 Truth Group after seeing that video? How did you become involved with the Montreal group?
Well, I had started organizing the March on Ottawa with members of various Truth Movement chapters across Canada, and then I approached the Montreal group to become involved, and it was just a matter of them finishing up their work on the documentary on the new security system. And when they were done that, they welcomed me aboard, and we got working on the March on Ottawa and a few other things that we've done this year.
Yeah, because you've done some pretty amazing things, having both David Ray Griffin and Michelle Chasudowski and other speakers in Montreal, which is very impressive. So you were very involved with organizing those events?
Yeah, the Griffin lecture was the first event that I was involved with organizing with the Montreal group. And that was a good trial run for us because, you know, we had all the press releases and media contacts and figuring out what works in terms of no-budget promotion of an event, postering and leafleting and so on. And all of those things have been applied again on a larger scale in preparation and promotion of the March on Ottawa.
So why don't you give me an overview of the March on Ottawa and what you've organized so far and how things are coming together?
Well, the original plan was to have a petition for the Canadian 9/11 investigation. This is extremely important to us because there is a precedent, as you know. Both the Japanese and European parliaments have looked at the evidence of a cover-up. So in conjunction with our drive to get the Canadian government to acknowledge the entire issue of 9/11, we thought that we needed to support it with street actions on a scale that we haven't seen in Canada. And the march from Montreal to Ottawa was seemed like the best way to do that. It's also been a great opportunity to get the various 9/11 truth chapters in Canada working together for the first time, which is something that wasn't happening before. So it's been a long year of communication across the country. Everybody's brought to the table whatever skills they have. And as you know, the 9/11 truth movement is a leaderless movement largely. So whatever a group member can bring and contribute, we've managed to piece it all together. We've got people marching, as you know, from Montreal to Ottawa. We've got four nights of camping. We've got chartered buses for people that want to go directly from Montreal to Ottawa. And for most of us, this is new territory, this level of organizing. So it's been an interesting learning curve, to say the least.
Oh, I imagine so. I think you probably know I organized the first citizens' inquiry into 9/11 in San Francisco back in March 2004. And it was like the first time I had tried anything, and I know I had really grandiose ideas and plans and hopes and dreams, and then the reality sets in, and it was smaller, it was more scaled back. But we just, you know, sometimes you don't really know how things are going to happen until you try to do it. So it seems like an incredibly ambitious effort. Looking at the website, are you getting the involvement or the numbers that you would like, or would you? I know one always wants more people to be involved.
Yeah, well, as you know, I mean, 2004, what you were doing in San Francisco, that was for many people still quite early in the game in terms of even being able to broach the issue of 9/11 as an inside job. So it's a tough sell. It's not like organizing other similar rallies or other sorts of events. So you really don't know what's going to happen. But from my point of view, it's already been a success because the synergy that we've created between the 9/11 truth chapters in Canada is really amazing. The fact that the Canadian government has now responded to our petition has given us a means to engage in a dialogue with them. And,
how have they responded to the petition? Does that mean you actually get to present something before Parliament?
Yeah, the petition was read into Parliament on the 10th of June, and under the parliamentary rules, the sitting government has 45 days to respond to a petition. They didn't respond within the 45-day period, but we knew whose office it had been assigned to, so we followed up with phone calls and faxes and asking where's our response, and finally we got a fairly typical letter stating that the Canadian government sees no problems with the official 9/11 Commission report and therefore doesn't see any reason to undertake an investigation. Now, that's what we expected them to say, but having them say it and put it on paper and present it to us that way invites a measured response from us in regards to all the reasons that there are problems with the 9/11 Commission report. To say nothing of the fact that NIST, the National Institute for Science and Technology in the United States, admitted in 2007, and the quote is, that they cannot explain the total collapse of the Twin Towers. That alone should raise questions. If they can't explain it, if the 9/11 Commission report can't explain it, who's going to explain it and when? So these are the sorts of things that we can now ask the Canadian government to address as a result of this dialogue.
Okay, so what's going to happen during the march? Can you describe what the plan is?
Yeah, it's certainly going to be the largest street action for 9/11 truth that we've had in Canada, and I think a lot of people were feeling and still are feeling that they want history to know that we stopped in our tracks and recognize the gravity of what happened on 9/11, and that we were willing to do something, for us monumental enough. To march to Ottawa seemed to me a good chance to make a statement, but for also a good chance for people to really allow themselves to express the degree of concern that they're feeling. So there's that element to it. There's going to be marches through populated areas with our caravan. As you know, as you mentioned, the Vancouver group is bringing their bus, so that'll be part of the caravan. And the whole intention of the Truth Movement has been to become the media, to educate the public as much as possible. So we will be distributing DVDs, literature, certainly giving people opportunities to sign the petition en route to Ottawa. And I find even just with the petition, we do street actions in Montreal. We've been doing them once a week all summer and now twice a week as the march approaches. Just getting people to sign the petition, many of them are grateful to be able to do something. They haven't really felt that there was anything that they could do, or they were wondering what they could do. So it's whether they just sign the petition or whether they march with us or whether they bring a car along with us on the caravan, I think that's all part of building momentum towards further action. Because once people sign a petition, they start to take ownership of an idea. And once they march day after day for a cause, I think it's a way to really build momentum.
Do you also have, like, bicyclists for people who don't want to take a car? I mean, how far is it from, in practical terms, from Montreal to Ottawa?
Yeah, if you were driving, you could do it in a couple of hours. So it's not an incredible distance. And on any given day, we're not going to walk more than 50 kilometers. And
walk 50 kilometers? That's like a pretty hefty walk there.
It is. It's a good walk, yeah. But we're going to have a lot of fun.
50 kilometers? Wait a minute. That's...
Oh, you're trying to convert it into miles?
Miles, yeah. We do miles here in the United States. We're one of those archaic countries.
Well, so, and let me
like
see. That
miles?
Would be about a half-hour drive by car, 50 kilometers. If you're going 100 kilometers an hour, it would be an hour. That would be a half-hour drive, 50 kilometers.
Okay. So are you going to be actually marching or driving yourself personally?
Mostly I'm going to be walking. We have a cargo van that we're renting to carry our camping gear. So there will be times when I suppose I'll have to take a turn driving the van.
Okay.
But for the most part, I'm going to be walking.
Okay. So do you have people bicycling too?
Some people
You have a place where people can register at your website, right?
So yeah.
Do you have an idea of the commitment of how many people will be with you each day?
At this point, it's hard to say what the numbers are going to turn out to be. A lot of people wait till the last minute to make decisions. Of course, we've got the large group coming from Vancouver, and I know they're picking up some people in Winnipeg on the way. I recently had someone from Quebec City get in touch who's going to come and join us and march with us. And then there's a core group, about a half a dozen people within the Montreal 9/11 Truth, that are committed to doing the march. So, you know, as long as we have 20 or 30 people, enough to make a good-sized street manifestation, that's, for me, that's sufficient.
Okay. And so are you guys going to have signs, too, or banners? Because that slows you down, especially in the wind. I've done a lot of, you know, little marches, and I do know that the signage, especially banners, slow you down.
Yeah, well, we're going to have a rally on the 7th. It's a Sunday, and that's to kick off the march. And at that rally, we're going to be making signs, and we'll have our banners as well. And we'll march through Montreal. We have a 3-hour march planned through Montreal that day. And but then there will be stretches where we're just going to caravan up to our campgrounds. If there's longer stretches where there's not going to be any populated area. We'll just get on the highway and tuck our signs in and head up to the campground. So it'll be a sort of a mix of a march caravan.
Okay, because I was thinking 30 kilometers. That's that's a long way. You have to get up early in the morning to do that. I know my favorite hike is about 9 miles, and it's up and downhill, but it's like a good 5 hours, and 18 miles is a lot. 30 miles, I don't think I'd want to do that every day for 4 days. I think it would be really hard on people.
So yeah, it could be. I was inspired originally by, well, I spent some time in India last year, and there was a Sufi Baba that I was traveling with, and every year he does a walk from Delhi to Ajmer, which is 8 days, and approximately 500 people from around India come to Delhi to walk with him. Now, the Indian culture is different. They're famous for their long walks, and they, of course, Gandhi was famous for his long walk to the sea when he encouraged the Indian people to make salt for themselves. So that was my inspiration. I thought if he could do it, we could do it.
Yes. Well, we have a break now, but I'll be back with Robert Lewis in just a few minutes.
Uncover the Truth with Catherine Albright, live from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., Monday to Friday, right here on We the People Radio Network.
Welcome back to Questioning War, Organizing Resistance. That was Martin Oakes, who wrote Building 7, which is a great music video. And if you go to the website, they have references to each line. Before the break, Robert, you were mentioning Gandhi and his march to the sea. And we have an annual march. Actually, it's one of my favorite parts of my activism is that we have a 2 mile march every year from the Panhandle to what is called the 9/11 Power to the Peaceful Festival in Golden Gate Park, and it's a really pleasant 2 mile walk, and that's where we come up with all our different chants and just sort of socialize, because most of it is just through the park where there aren't a whole lot of people or observers. But a couple of years ago, I realized that it was the 100th anniversary of the birth of Satyagraha and Gandhi's march in South Africa to challenge the racist laws. And I just was wondering, are you aware of that?
No, I didn't know about the actual anniversary date, but certainly aware of the different ways that Gandhi used this strategy to galvanize people and give them an opportunity to really become engaged in a nonviolent and a productive way.
Yeah, I just thought it's something that we should take note of, because it was, that is actually, it was 100 years ago. On September 11th, 2006, that from the first march, it was when he actually realized the idea of including spirituality in a political struggle and how it would change the nature of civil disobedience. And I think it's such a powerful idea, just the idea too of the truth force. I know that for me, my struggle has been, well, I've had a few of them, but to merge the truth movement with the peace and justice movement, because I think it will give it a lot more force, the power of truth. And it sounds like you're quite aware of that too.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to be said for, using 9/11 to build bridges with different organizations and movements, such as a peace movement. I feel very strongly that because 9/11 is something that everybody experienced in one way or another, that we all participated in it. I mean, really, just to step back and look at what we were subjected to, the fact that this mass murder was orchestrated for live television, and that we were all subjected to what was essentially a snuff film, that makes it very personal. And I feel very strongly that 9/11 should be the Achilles heel of the global elite, the people who are orchestrating these sorts of false flag operations for their long-term one-world agenda, that 9/11 is something that can tie us all together in a way that I don't think any other event in our generation can do. And so it's so important, as you say, to use it to build those bridges with other organizations that really are all of the same spirit. I think, you know, we want the same thing. And there's a huge opportunity with 9/11 to make a different world, that's for sure.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. In fact, that's one of the things that I was thinking was beyond 9/11 truth, a truth movement and embracing so many issues and pulling them together. And I think that's what happened. Actually, my husband's Canadian, and I was in Canada when I came up with this idea. I brought it back to the United States and shared it with a bunch of activists. And a friend of mine organized a truth convergence in Washington, D.C. in 2005. And it was trying to pull together not just the 9/11 truth movement, but also stolen elections, a whole bunch of issues which had been suppressed, and to speak out in Washington, D.C. And I missed it because I was visiting my family in Canada, which is what I do every summer, so I missed that convergence. But we see it, how the 9/11 truth movement has morphed into a larger truth movement, especially since they have done subsequent attacks, the London bombings, the Madrid bombings, the Bali bombings. I think people around the world realize that the whole bogus war on terrorism, it's a war of the global elite wanting that corporate military hegemony and dominance over people everywhere and having greater surveillance, control, fear dominate their lives. So I really appreciate your consciousness raising efforts and your sensitivity to this.
Thank you. Thanks. Yeah. No, these types of events are important on so many different levels, aren't they? Because one of the things I'm looking forward to, for example, with the March on Ottawa is those four nights of camping and those hours out on the road. There's going to be a lot of chances to talk with the members from Vancouver, the people coming from Quebec and other cities, and to talk about what our next move is, what we will do after the march. You know, there are a lot of people, of course, who are skeptical about these sorts of tactics. You know, you can march all you want, you can gather on Parliament Hill. What difference is it going to make? Well, I think it makes a lot of difference just in terms of being able to say to the public, listen, we used our democratic means. We took a petition to Parliament. We engaged in a dialogue with our politicians. We marched all the way from Montreal to show that we are serious about supporting this. And now if we have to look at other tactics, the sort of tactics that Gandhi used, general strikes, all kinds of other possibilities, you need to be able to say to the public that you explored the democratic possibilities before you start looking at more creative ways of really getting to the heart of the matter, to arriving at some kind of justice, some kind of response from the officials that can sort of help us put an end to the cognitive dissonance that we're all experiencing around the 9/11 cover-up. Yeah.
Well, I think it's a great idea, and you're right that it will raise consciousness. And I think I have friends who were on the Great Peace March, you know, back in the 80s or 70s, a long, long, long time ago, but it profoundly affected their lives and taught them. A friend of mine, he's written a book, The Tao of Democracy. He started the Co-Intelligence Institute. And just the process of non-hierarchical, listening to everybody, developing group wisdom, I think that is something that you hopefully will develop and share and participate in camping and marching together. It sounds like a wonderful experience, and I wish I could join you, but I'm afraid I'm going to have my hands full organizing here in California, but I'm so delighted you're doing what you're doing, and I thank you so much for all of your efforts.
Well, I thank you for your enthusiasm.
And thanks for joining me, too. I hope they'll be able to get Drew on next to talk about the truth tour and meeting up with you guys in Montreal.
So that's a wrap for us.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
So this is springtime. The years have been dark. The sun is now shining. Love is the spark.
Hello, welcome back to Questioning War, Organizing Resistance. I'm Carol Bouillet. And joining us now is the organizer from Vancouver, Drew Noftal. And he's one of the members of the Vancouver 9/11 Truth Group. And he's doing amazing work organizing a tour with a bus and some incredible musicians. And Drew, why don't you go ahead and tell people a little bit about how you got involved with 9/11 Truth and managed to organize this amazing tour that's starting on Friday?
It starts on, yeah, we're leaving Friday morning.
Great.
As for me, your question was how I got into the 9/11 Truth movement?
Yeah, if you want to just give people a little bit of background.
Okay.
I mean, I did post your bio, but not everybody gets to read all the stuff on my website.
I was over in China. I left over there in October 2001, right after the attacks, and I was living in Beijing. I was working as a private English tutor for various multinational corporations and some high-ranking members of the CCP. Actually, I was the private tutor for the president of the Industrial Commercial Bank of China, which is the largest bank in the world, actually. And, I was just living the good life out there, you know, making money, having a good time. I was living with a roommate who was also from Vancouver, a friend of mine I've been since high school. And he, started getting into the Alex Jones show, right? And we've always had, you know, that sort of, you know, anti-government ideas and things. And I never, always believed what the government told me, but I didn't believe their story about 9/11. I believed it was just America getting its just desserts for its failed foreign policy. So anyways, he tried to get me into listening to more Alex Jones, and I couldn't do it. I didn't like the guy. You know, I would come home, he'd have this thick Texas accent, you know, blaring in the, you know, off the radio trying to tell me how the world works, and I just didn't like him from the get-go. So anyways, my friend asked me to just sit down, just watch 5 minutes of martial law, you know, just look at what he has to say. So I said, all right, fine, I'll watch it. And he showed me Building 7 coming down, you know, and I asked him, you know, that happened on 9/11. It's just impossible. I never saw it on TV. I've seen a lot of videos. And it happened. It was right across the street. So like anyone who's, you know, really saw it, I had to do my own research. And I started looking and looking, and I, you know, did research for about 6 good months over there. And that's when I just decided, you know, I got to go back and do something about this. You know, as a Canadian, our country is at war. I got to do what I can to help us get out of that war. And I think 9/11 Truth is the best way to go about it.
And so you came back, and it was just before the big Vancouver conference, but you also were involved with that, too.
Yeah, I came in 2006. I came back, and I met up with some of the guys in Vancouver. They already had a pretty good group out here of about 20 people. And the idea for the truth conference was going around, and, you know, I really helped get that together. And we had it back in June of 2007, last summer, and it was just absolutely incredible. It was far better than we could have ever imagined. We had people flying in from all over the world. We had a packed house every night. And out of that, you know, the success that we got out of it, that is, you know, that we got a lot of people who came in from Edmonton and Calgary and Montreal and Ottawa, and all these people who came to the conference, then went back to their hometowns to help build the movement in their city, right? Now there's about 15 different cities with groups that are somewhat organized across the country, and it's just grown huge out of that. Now with the March on Ottawa, this is the first major event in Canada that has gotten all these groups together to work on a large-scale event as a Canadian united movement. So like Robert said, a lot of the success that we'll get out of this will be getting to meet a lot of these people, brainstorming with each other, saying, where are we going to go from here? And you know, meeting all these people that I've been in email contact with the last few months, I'm really looking forward to meeting them.
And you also have some fantastic musicians who are going to be with you, hip-hop artists.
Yeah, Conspirituality. These guys I met in a park. You know, as some people might know, Vancouver is fairly well known for its, it's marijuana friendly out here. And, we had a rally, on, 420, in support of this. And we had our little 9/11 truth tent up there, like we always do at all the major rallies in Vancouver. And we were just packing up for the day, ready to go home. And then I heard, you know, from the other side of the park, these musicians, you know, singing about 9/11. And I just couldn't believe it. So I went over there and I met them. And, you know, we introduced ourselves. They introduced themselves. And we started talking about the march. And just within a couple of weeks, they said, all right, we're down. We're doing it. We're coming with you guys. And they've just put out an EP, which they'll be selling for the first time, along the tour that we're doing across the country. They're going to be playing shows in each town along the way, and then also again on Parliament Hill for a couple of the nights that we'll be out there as well. Really excited to have them with us. Yeah.
That's great. So the people can hear their songs online?
Right now you can hear them at myspace.com/conspirituality.
Okay.
So it's spelled spirituality with just C-O-N in front of it.
Okay. Yeah, I did check out some of their music, and I liked it. I know here in the United States, too, we have Cynthia McKinney running for president and Rosa Clemente as her running mate, and she's also very involved in hip-hop. So it's wonderful that the hip-hop artists are 9/11 savvy and can reach a lot of people that might not go to a David Ray Griffin lecture.
Yeah, exactly, right? You got to get people from all different outlets. And, you know, for me, growing up as a kid, a lot of the reasons why I sort of got into, I guess you could call it left-wing politics, I wouldn't label it, but the reason why I sort of got into that was because the music I listened to. I didn't listen to hip-hop. I was into punk rock, but some of the bands that I would listen to, like Anti-Flag or up here, Propagandhi, you know, I would listen to these guys, and I would buy their CD, and I would go home, and I would listen to the lyrics. And a lot of what they were saying, you know, made me ask questions about what my government was doing. And, yeah, it's a great way to reach people.
Yeah, I know the whole anti-slavery movement. I mean, people used to use songs, and that was the way they passed messages for the resistance and build the resistance, a lot of the music. And same thing's happening today. I know for me personally, just whenever I find out somebody is a musician or a filmmaker or an artist, I always give them the 9/11 materials because I think that's the best way to reach the public. I know my the door slams in my face when I go in the front door trying to go through the news and try to get the facts, the basic facts out in the the regular corporate media. And I have had more success going in the side door with music. Our comedy show, Behind Every Terrorist There's a Bush, we got more information out in the art section than we ever did in the news section. So I'm glad that you're including music in your tour, and I'm sure that will attract more people and more crowds and increase the outreach possibilities. So you're actually going to start then on Friday, and do you want to describe what towns that you're going to go to?
Yeah, I'll leave on Friday morning, and we're going to be leaving Vancouver and hang off to Kelowna, where we're going to spend the day. We're going to have a rally there. After Kelowna, the next day, we're off to Nelson, B.C. After that, we're off to Calgary. From Calgary, we're going to be into Regina. Then on Tuesday the 2nd, we're going to be into Winnipeg, then Thunder Bay, Sudbury, Toronto, and then finally arriving in Montreal on the 6th. So at each town, we're going to probably be arriving anywhere from noon to 5 or 6 p.m., depending on, you know, how well our bus does. And, everywhere we go, we're going to set up a booth. And just through this, you know, actually, I put a note on 9/11 Blogger about 2 months ago asking for people in these cities to try to organize rallies for us. And we've had huge success. In every city, we've had people come up, say, I'm excited to have you come. What can I do? And now we have them organizing their first ever 9/11 Truth events. And, you know, just like our conference, this event is helping building more bridges and helping getting more cities to start their own movements.
Oh, that's great. That's wonderful to hear. We have a break coming up, and we'll be back in just a few minutes with Drew, talking about the Canadian 9/11 Truth Movement.
Hello, George. Yeah, the framers of our Constitution, fresh on the heels of revolution, but it must have seen the writing on the wall. They secured for us an open door in Article 2 and Section 4 to commence a presidential overhaul. Now we've run this play a few times before, with presidents and judges and governors, and now we see that our country is in distress. With thousands dying, Bush go lying, illegal torture, illegal spying, this is so much bigger than the stain on an intern's dress. I-M-P-E-A-C-H, seven little letters gonna set us straight. I-M-P-E-A-C-H, how much more are we gonna take? I-M-P-E-A-C-H, time to clean the White House out. Here we go! And defend our Constitution. It's a patriotic and a democratic way. Let's impeach old George and all his cronies, and load up all his jesters and his one-trick ponies. Put them all in a FEMA trailer from Gulf Coast, USA. I said, I-M-P-E-A-C-H, seven little letters gonna get us straight. I-M-P-E-A-C-H, how much more are we gonna take? I-M-P-E-A-C-H, time to clean the White House out. I said I-M-P-E-A-C-H, seven little letters gonna get us straight. I-M-P-E-A-C-H, how much more are we gonna take? I-M-P-E-A-C-H, time to clean the White House out. I said it's time to clean the White House out.
the amount of deaths in Afghanistan and such. But, you know, we just haven't gotten there yet. And we've been so busy organizing all these other cities and doing our other things, and we all have our own day jobs, and, you know, we're still working on it now. So we're trying to get a design done tonight. If we do, we can get it wrapped by Wednesday, and then we can have it ready to go by Friday. So it's all last minute here for that. That's sort of one thing that, you know, I'm sort of glad to be Canadian. You know, you have about 300 million plus Americans. We only have 30 million Canadians. So every one Canadian really has the voice of about 10 Americans. And with our parliamentary system that we have up here, we do have, I believe, more power to persuade the government to act on the demands of the people than maybe you do down there. And we really need to take advantage of that, and that's what we're trying to do. I can pick up the phone and call my MP anytime I want and speak with her. And I know a lot of people in the States that don't have that opportunity, right? So... yeah, and, you know, because we do have the low population, and, you know, we... as a group of people, are able to make more of an individual difference, I believe. And, you know, this petition that we're doing is,
really teaching a lot of people about that.
I think...
is that Matthew?
I think that was... I think they goofed on the production side, and that they just finished a song, and that was the signal that we're actually on the air. So people probably didn't hear the details about the paint job on the bus, but I think what you said was important and bears repeating about how you feel as a Canadian that you have a lot more say in your government than Americans do in ours, because you could pick up the phone and call up your member of parliament and speak to them, to her, directly.
Yeah. As I was saying, you know, every one Canadian is about the voice of three Americans population-wise. You have a country of 300 million plus, and we're just a country of 30 million, right? That 30 million is in charge of one of the most powerful governments in the world. And I have the ability to just make a phone call and call my MP, and I call other people's MPs, and I get them to respond to me as well. You know, my MP knows that I'm in her constituency, but the other MP that I call from Toronto, he doesn't know that I'm not in his constituency, so he has to respond just as my MP does, right?
Yeah.
So, and we've been talking to a lot of them about 9/11, and we've been pushing it and pushing it and pushing it, and we are still waiting for our own Karen Johnson up here, for someone to come out and speak out for their constituents against it. And, with the pressure that we're building, I think we can do that someday. We actually have a federal party up here in Canada called the Canadian Action Party, like I guess you're talking about in the first half, and their whole platform is on 9/11 truth. So we're going to have an election pretty soon, actually. Maybe, there might be one called very, very shortly. We might have an election in October. And if we do that, we're going to have an opportunity to get to vote for these Canadian Action Party people that are running and try to get some of them into office. And if we can do that, that will be amazing. You know, and well, it's just a matter of time.
Right. I forgive me for my ignorance of the Canadian system. I know if there's like a no confidence vote in Parliament, they change the government. In New Zealand, is that the way it works in Canada too?
Yeah, we don't have an election every 4 years. We have an election whenever the Prime Minister wants an election. So we can have any election from anywhere from day two of the government being in office to 5 years. Right now it's been about two and a half years, which is actually fairly long for minority government. And now Stephen Harper, our Prime Minister, he thinks that he's quite popular now and that people are in favor for him, so he's going to call an election. And he's doing it now at a time where a lot of the other parties, the NDP, the Bloc Québécois, or the Liberals, are really unprepared for it. We're supposed to, our MPs have been on vacation for the, you know, all summer. They're supposed to get back to work and back into Parliament on September 15th. If he does call the election, the government will resolve on September 5th. That means they won't be going back to work. That means they're going to be campaigning while we're in Ottawa.
Ah, okay. So, it's the timing. It surprises me that you're actually planning on arriving when Parliament isn't in Ottawa. Is that
well? That was the plan. It, you know, we wanted to be there on September 11th, and the original plan was that Parliament was supposed to reconvene on September 15th. Now, as Robert said, they haven't tabled our petition in time. It's supposed to be tabled within 45 days, and that hadn't happened. So one of our members said, emailed some of the MPs and said, look, if this doesn't get tabled shortly, we're going to go to the Toronto Star with a story on it. Right after that, we got an email saying, oh, yes, right away we're going to have that tabled on September 15th. Well, we're going to be in Ottawa on September 15th. We're in there on the 11th, but we're staying until the 15th, until it gets tabled now. And so that was the plan. And then when they do have that discussion on the 15th, we were going to be there at Parliament to listen in and to make our voices heard. If an election is called, that won't be the case.
Well, I thank you so much, Drew, for your efforts on behalf of all Americans, North, South, Central. And thank you so much for all that you're doing, too. And I wish you every success, and I hope you have a great trip. And I can't thank you enough. You're a real inspiration to me, and I think to everyone else.
Well, thank you, Carol, and you to us.